You're listening to a podcast hosted by Med Learning Group.
Hello, and welcome to this podcast, Using Multidisciplinary Management to Address Pathophysiologic Pathways in Paroxysmal Nocturnal Hemoglobinuria. I'm joined by Dr. Anem Wahid of Massachusetts General Hospital Cancer Center, who is also an instructor in medicine at Harvard Medical School. We're here to talk about the pathophysiology of PNH and multimodal mechanisms of action on the complement pathway to manage the disease. Welcome, Dr. Wahid.
Thank you very much.
Let's just start off with a brief overview of PNH.
Sure. Paroxysmal nocturnal hemoglobinuria is actually a very rare disorder that leads to complement-mediated hemolysis, which is breakdown of red blood cells. It's secondary to an acquired mutation in the PIGA gene, which affects your hematopoietic stem cells in the bone marrow and all of its progeny. It interferes with the first step of GPI biosynthesis of complement regulator proteins, CD55 and CD59. It affects males and females equally, and the incident increases with age, but it's thought to be a disease of young adults. The median age at diagnosis is in the 30s, and in the United States, it's estimated that there's 3,000 to 6,000 patients with PNH, and this is a prevalence estimate. In untreated PNH, the median survival is 10 to 20 years, with thrombosis as the leading cause of death. However, now that we have several therapies for PNH, this outlook has changed dramatically, and patients with PNH are now expected to have a normal lifespan.
So you brought up the complement system. I'm sure it's been quite a while since many of our listeners studied it. Why don't you give us an overview of a complement system and how it fits in with PNH?
Absolutely. The complement system is everyone's favorite topic. So the complement system is an ancient system that is part of our immune system. It works primarily in the innate immune system, but does have a role in the adaptive immune response as it serves as a functional bridge. And basically what it does is that it's an innate defense against common pathogens. It's robust, it's efficient, and it leads to this proteolytic cascade that leads to inflammation, opsonization, and lysis of pathogens. There are three pathways in the complement system: the classical pathway, the lectin pathway, and the alternative pathway, which all lead to inflammation, opsonization, and lysis. First of all, the classical pathway is initiated by an antigen-antibody complex that creates a C1 complex and then ultimately fixes complement. The lectin pathway is another pathway which we won't talk about today since it has a very limited role in PNH. The alternative pathway is interesting because it is constitutively active and acts as a sentinel for the innate immune system. So, an important aspect of the complement system is that it creates the membrane attack complex, which leads to lysis. And this membrane attack complex is the terminal part of the complement system, which is the very bottom. The membrane attack complex is made up of C5b through C9. And this leads to direct lysis, and it kills the cells by forming pores in the plasma membrane. So going back to the alternative pathway, it is constitutively active, and what it does, it actually leads to spontaneous takeover of C3, and C3 has cofactors with factor B and factor D, and then C3 convertase cleaves C3 into C3B in a process known as the amplification loop. And then C3B is bound with factor B to create C3 convertase. And then C3 convertase activates C5 convertase, which then activates the membrane attack complex. Now, if that sounds very confusing, what I want my listeners to focus on is the terminal complement pathway is anything below C5. So C5 convertase and then C5B through C9, which makes up the membrane attack complex. This is the terminal complement system, which is at the very bottom. Anything upstream of C5 is part of the proximal complement system. And this distinction is important and when we talk about the various drugs that we have to target and treat PNH. Another aspect of the complement system is that we have complement regulators, and this regulates the complement system to prevent uncontrolled or inappropriate activation of the complement system. In PNH, you are missing complement regulators as there's an absence of these GPI anchored proteins CD55 and CD59.
So that's where it all comes in with PNH. Since we've learned so much about that, that's what enabled us to develop the treatments that we currently have. So how do those work vis-a-vis the complement system?
Perfect. So the first therapy that was approved for PNH was eculizumab in 2007, and this targets C5. It's a C5 inhibitor. And just to remind the audience that C5 is part of the terminal complement system. So if you block C5, you actually end up blocking formation of the membrane attack complex and prevent lysis. And that's really how eculizumab works. Ravulizumab is also an inhibitor of C5. It is a long-acting version of eculizumab, essentially, and it also prevents formation of the membrane attack complex. So this is why eculizumab and ravulizumab are very important treatments, and it was actually the first treatment for complement-mediated diseases back in 2007.
We have a third FDA-approved drug. How does that work?
Absolutely. So that brings me to my next point. C5 blockade is excellent and leads to prevention of the membrane attack complex. However, as you may recall, there is also the alternative pathway that is always on. And what happens when you block C5, you end up with these C3 fragments in the alternative pathway that continues to bind PNH red blood cells because C3 activation remains unabated. And they opsonize the red cells and they become targets for the macrophages in the reticuloendothelial system and end up with extravascular hemolysis. So these patients who are on C5 inhibitors can continue to have hemolysis through the extravascular hemolysis through the reticuloendothelial system. So that brings me to pegcetacoplan. It works very differently than eculizumab and ravulizumab. This targets C3, which our audience will recall is actually upstream and is part of the proximal complement system. Therefore, pegcetacoplan controls intravascular and extravascular hemolysis. And since it targets C3, it's actually a very different medication compared to eculizumab and ravulizumab.
And we've talked some in the other two parts of this series about some of the drawbacks or areas that current therapies aren't 100%. So we have quite a few new compounds in development. Can you talk about some of those and how their mechanism of action differs and why that might make a difference?
Absolutely. And that's why I think it's important to discuss the complement system first, because now what the drugs under investigation are doing are targeting different aspects of the complement system. As I mentioned before, the alternative pathway is constitutively active. They are now serving as targets for PNH. Iptacopan is a factor D inhibitor that is an oral small molecule medication that is currently under investigation. It controls both intravascular and extravascular hemolysis. Its phase 3 study was presented at ASH 2022 in New Orleans last December. Another oral therapy is danicopan, which is a factor B inhibitor. And this is also an oral therapy currently under investigation. Crovalimab is an anti-C5 recycling monoclonal antibody that is given subcutaneously as a low-volume injection. So we have at least three additional drugs under investigation that we look forward to seeing. There are actually several more, but we look forward to seeing those preliminary studies before we discuss it.
Do you anticipate that you would still be using some of the older drugs with the newer ones since they target different parts of the complement system?
That is an incredibly important question. It remains to be seen in which order we use these medications. There are certain advantages to having an IV infusion every couple of weeks in our infusion center. There are, of course, certain advantages to having an oral medication. So we look forward to seeing which order we will be using these medications because it remains to be seen.
Great. What have I not asked you about in terms of how PNH and the complement system are intertwined and also how the targeted therapies play off the complement system? What else would you say to our listeners about this topic?
I think we still have a lot to learn about the complement system and its interaction with the coagulation system. We still would like to learn more about why thrombosis is such a predominant feature in untreated PNH, and that is certainly an area of investigation.
Great. Thank you so much, Dr. Waheed. That's all the time we have for today. And thank you to our listeners for joining us. We hope you'll listen to another episode from this series. This podcast was brought to you by Med Learning Group. Med Learning Group is accredited by the Accreditation Council for Continuing Medical Education to provide CME for physicians. This activity was planned and produced in accordance with the ACCME Essentials. I want to give a special thank you to our supporter, Novartis Pharmaceuticals Corporation, who provided an educational grant for this activity.